Canto 3, Chapter 33. Chapter 33 is entitled Activities of Lord Kapiladev. And today we are on text 5. Tvam deha tantra prashamaya papamanam.
Tvam deha tantra prashamaya
papamanam. Tvam deha tantra prashamaya papamanam.
Tvam deha tantra prashamaya
Nidesh bhujam cha vibhavi bhutaye. Nidesh bhajam cha vibhavi bhutaye. Yathavatarashtava sukaradayash. Yathavatarashtava sukaradayash. Tathayama piyatma patho palabdhaye. Tathayama piyatma patho palabdhaye. Tvam deha tantra prashamaya papamanam. Nidesh bhajam cha vibho vibhutaye. Yathavatarashtava shukaradayas. Tathayamapi atma patho palabdhaye. Tvam deha tantra prashamaya papamanam. Nidesha bhajam cha vibho vibhutaye. Yathavatarashtava shukaradayas. Tathayamapi atma pratho palabdhaye.
You,
deha,
this body,
tantra,
have assumed
prashamaya maya,
for the diminution,
papamanam,
of sinful activities,
nidesha bhajam,
of instructions in devotion,
cha, and
vibho,
O my Lord,
vibhutaye,
for the expansion,
yatha,
as
avataraha,
incarnations,
tava,
your,
sukara adayaha,
the boar and other forms,
tatha,
so,
I am,
this incarnation of Kapila,
api,
surely,
Atmapatha,
the path of self-realization,
Upalabdhaye,
in order to reveal.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Translation: My dear Lord, you have assumed this body in order to diminish the sinful activities of the fallen and to enrich their knowledge in devotion and liberation. Since these sinful people are dependent on your direction, by your own will, you assume incarnations as a boar and as other forms. Similarly, you have appeared in order to distribute transcendental knowledge to your dependents. Purport: In the previous verses, the general transcendental qualifications of the Supreme Personality of Godhead were described. Now, the specific purpose of the Lord's appearance is also described. By his different energies, he bestows different kinds of bodies upon the living entities who are conditioned by their propensity to lord it over material nature. But in course of time, these living entities become so degraded that they need enlightenment. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that whenever there are discrepancies in the discharge of the real purpose of this material existence, the Lord appears as an incarnation. The Lord's form as Kapila directs the fallen souls and enriches them with knowledge and devotion so that they may go back to Godhead. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like those of the boar, the fish, the tortoise, the half-man and the half-lion. Lord Kapila Dev is also one of the incarnations of Godhead. It is accepted herein that Lord Kapila Dev appeared on the surface of the earth to give transcendental knowledge to the misguided conditioned souls. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaryam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we have almost come to the end of the third canto. We are on the last chapter, which is chapter 33, the activities of Kapila Dev. So the third canto had many interesting aspects to it, many interesting pastimes. The highlight of the third canto is Lord Kapila Dev's pastimes, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So from chapter 25 onwards, like before that, the description was given of the life of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, their married life, what an ideal grahastha life should be like. And then the son Kapila Dev was born to Devahuti and Kardama Muni. And chapter 25 onwards, it describes all the instructions of Lord Kapila Dev. So as it is described in this verse and as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord comes to the surface of the earth to fulfill some specific purposes. And as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in this purport, that Lord Kapila Dev came to give instructions on how to execute the process of devotional service through the system of a process called as Sankhya Yoga. So he came to propagate that so that conditioned living entities who are getting degraded and degraded in Kali Yuga can find the right path to go back to Godhead. So that was what was the purpose of Lord Kapila Dev's instructions, to propagate the philosophy of Sankhya Yoga on this earth. So he gives lots of other instructions. He gives also instructions on how the material nature works, what are the movement of the living entities, how living entities come in this world. And then he glorifies the process of devotional service and also how to execute the process of devotional service. And in verse 12 of this chapter, Lord Kapila Dev will actually leave home. So in the previous few chapters, he has been sitting down and he has been giving instructions to his mother. So Devahuti, even though she is the mother, it shows her humility that she is happy to sit down in front of her own son and accept instructions from him. So she is accepting instructions, and in this chapter, Devahuti has now started speaking. Lord Kapila Dev stopped speaking in the previous chapter, and now Devahuti is glorifying the position of Lord Kapila Dev. So she is realizing that Lord Kapila Dev is an incarnation. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and she is glorifying the different transcendental qualities of Lord Kapila Dev and why he appeared on this earth. So she is glorifying over here, and in the 12th verse, Lord Kapila Dev, after he feels that he has fulfilled his duties as a son, because that was one of the conditions of Devahuti to Kardama Muni. When Kardama Muni was leaving home, he was renouncing everything and going away. And that time Devahuti said that, who will deliver me? You haven't given me anyone who will deliver me. Because they had 9 daughters who were already married and settled. And Kardama Muni then gives her a son who was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kardama Muni, having fulfilled his duties, leaves home. Because Prabhupada says that a woman should always be protected. In her childhood, she should be under the care of her father. So Devahuti was very lovingly brought up by her father, Svayambhuva Manu. And then Svayambhuva Manu handed her over to her husband by getting her married to Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni took very good care of her. In fact, there are very nice instructions on how a husband and wife should deal with each other in some chapters which describe their pastimes. And now Kardama Muni has also fulfilled his duty, and he is handing her over to the son. So Prabhupada says that after marriage, a wife should be under the protection of the husband. And once the husband decides to retire, she should be under the protection of the sons. So that is exactly what Kardama Muni is doing over here. He has given the reins to Kapila Dev. And Devahuti is sitting and expressing. So she is not just wanting material look after. She just doesn't want material desires to be satisfied through Kardama Muni. Devahuti is also a very elevated personality. She realizes that the purpose of life is to actually achieve transcendental knowledge and go back to Godhead by executing the path of bhakti. And she realized that Krishna has sent her a son who is an incarnation himself. So how she should utilize this opportunity to learn from Kapila Dev. So very humbly she sits down, and there is many chapters which give the description of the exchange of conversation where Kapila Dev is instructing her on different aspects. And now she has started speaking. And then very soon Kapila Dev will leave home. And in this chapter, it describes how Devahuti then perfected her life. How she so not only hearing from a self-realized person, but then also implementing the instructions. So the remainder of the chapter will describe how she implements the instructions which Kapila Dev has given her, and how she will go back to Godhead at the end of her life. And then a few verses will describe how Kapila Dev also perfected, like which direction he goes towards, and how all the demigods, the Siddhas, Charanas, they all shower flowers on him, realizing he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's described he goes in the northeast direction, and it is described over there that he's still present on this earth just to execute and just to pass on the message of how to execute devotional service. So that is how this whole third canto will end. Now, as it is described in this particular purport, there are many different purposes for which the Lord appears. And to fulfill those purposes, he assumes different forms. And, for the Lord, it is so important, that is one of the main purposes of the Lord, to establish dharma. And in order to establish dharma, he doesn't hesitate to assume any form that is required of him. Now, for example, like we are doing a drama for our children for Janmashtami. We are preparing our children for a drama. It's Dashavatar, like it's described in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. So obviously, if you tell someone to act as a certain person, there might be a little bit of hesitation, or how can I act as a pig on the stage or something like that. But the Lord, he's the Supreme Lord. He's full of all opulences. He does not hesitate to take such a lowly form even as a boar. And he had to take that form. That was one of the earlier incarnations of the Lord. So he doesn't hesitate. The first incarnation was Matsya. He doesn't hesitate to come as a fish. Now fish, living entities who live under the water, like under the surface of the earth or under the water, are considered to be very low in their evolution of their consciousness. Because they are subterranean sort of. They are not even above the surface of the earth. But the Lord did not hesitate to take the form of Matsya. Because that form was required to fulfill that particular purpose at that time. He had to deliver the Vedas. He had to actually save the Muni from Satyavrata Muni from the waters of delusion. And he had to actually ask him to collect all the Vedas, and then he guides the boat in the right direction. So he doesn't hesitate to take such incarnations. And here Devahuti specifically mentions about the boar incarnation. Now, to assume the form of a pig, usually even when we see a pig, if we go to India, we generally tend to stay away. Because pigs are considered dirty animals. They actually willow in dirt. Wherever there's a dirty pond of water or muddy water lying around, pigs really love that sort of an environment. But the Lord did not hesitate to take up the form of the boar, because at that time, that form was the best suited to fulfill the purpose that he had to achieve. Because the earth had been actually put down in the Garbhodaka ocean by the demon Hiranyaksha, and only pigs are actually able to go down in those, you know, muddy and dirty places to retrieve something. So the earth was completely plunged at the depths of the Garbhodaka ocean, and the Lord took that form to actually bring the earth back to the surface and put her in her own orbit. And then he fought Hiranyaksha and he killed him. In the same way, if we take, it's also described that he takes the incarnation of the tortoise, Kurma Avatar. Now there is such a beautiful pastime which will come up of the description of what did the Lord achieve by taking the incarnation of the tortoise or of Kurma Avatar. How he was happy to become the platform on which the entire churning of the Mandara mountain can take place. Because there was a fight between the demons and the demigods, and they had to extract nectar according to the instructions of the Lord. And the Lord tells them to use the Mandara mountain, which is made up of gold, as the churning rod to extract that nectar from the ocean. But as soon as the demons and demigods took the Mandara mountain to the ocean to start churning it, because of its weight, it sank to the bottom, because it's made of gold. So obviously it sank to the bottom. And the Lord said that the Lord is always ready to help devotees on every front. So the Lord said that not only did he give them instructions on how to extract that nectar, but he also said, okay, I will become that support for Mandara mountain. And now you all can churn, keep the mountain on top of me and churn the mountain by keeping it on top of me. So in this way, the Lord assumes the form of a tortoise, because a tortoise is like an animal which can live on land and water both. So, and it has a hard shell. So he goes under the Mandara mountain and he lifts it back up on his shell. And then the demigods and demons start churning the Mandara mountain so that they can extract the nectar. So we see that for the Lord, it doesn't matter at all. If dharma has to be established, he is ready to go to any lengths, he is ready to take any form, and he is ready to do any activity to fulfill that promise which he gives in the Bhagavad Gita, that whenever there is a decline in religious principles, O Arjuna, I will appear millennium after millennium. So in fact, recently in our Bhakti Vedanta course under Kesho Prabhu, we are studying the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have come at a very touching phase of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is actually leaving Vrindavan and going. So all his Vrindavan pastimes are now over, and now the next phase of Krishna's pastimes are going to unfold. He's leaving Vrindavan. Akrura has come to take Krishna, and he's leaving Vrindavan and going. And it is such a very, very deep and exalted topic, the Viraha Geet that we just studied, which the gopis sing because Krishna is leaving them and going away. So it is mentioned over there that all the Vrajvasis faint as soon as Krishna and Balaram climb on the chariot, which Akrura is now going to drive towards Mathura. Every Vrajvasi faints over there. And it is described that this is described in different scriptures. Keshav Prabhu was referring to a book called Krishna Sangati, which Shivaram Maharaj has written on this topic. And it's really beautiful description on how Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura. So there it is described that even Krishna himself faints. He also is not able to bear separation from Vrindavan. He is also not able to bear separation from his pure devotees. So he also actually faints on the chariot. And Akrura has to support him that, you know, he doesn't fall off the chariot. And it is also described by Shivaram Maharaj that Krishna is crying and crying and crying that why am I leaving these people and going away? Because the gopis' hearts were broken. And very beautiful description is given of the verses that the gopis sing in, you know, separation from Krishna. They are not able to tolerate that Krishna is going, leaving them and going away. So at that time, again, you know, Akrura tells Krishna that, my Lord, you have a purpose to fulfill. And Krishna also pacifies his heart, even though he's crying in separation from his beloved devotees, the Vrajvasis. He pacifies his heart thinking that, yes, I have to, my purpose of incarnating in this world is to actually establish the principles of dharma. So there are many deep, you know, on many deep levels, there are explanations why Krishna had to leave and go, why he just did not send one of his you know, energies to just complete the job of killing Kamsa and all the other demons. There are many deep levels of explanation, so we'll not go into that. But the main purpose is, one of the purposes why he leaves Vrindavan and he leaves the Vrajhasis is that he has to establish dharma. So he had to leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura because there was so much adharma going on over there by Kamsa. And there were many other demoniac kings who had to be taken care of, like Jarasandha, Kalyavana. So there were so many different pastimes Krishna had to still take do. So even though he could not tolerate this, it was at the cost of him leaving his beloved devotees, the Vrajvasis, Krishna is still ready to take that step. He is still ready to leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura because he has to establish dharma. He knew there was adharma in the world going on. So like Prabhupada is explaining over here in the purport, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has promised and he does anything to keep up that promise that he will re-establish dharma whenever religious principles have declined and whenever people have forgotten the path of dharma. So he does that in different ways. He comes himself, like we discussed, in different forms. He does that by even he's ready to leave his beloved devotees and go so that he can establish dharma. Or he sends some of his representatives. He sends some of his pure devotees to come and establish the dharma or to preach the glories of devotional service so that suffering living entities can be attracted back to the path of devotional service. So just as he sent Srila Prabhupada to establish this whole worldwide movement of Krishna consciousness where thousands and thousands of devotees are actually taking to the process of Krishna bhakti. So today is the disappearance day of two such personalities whom Krishna sent in this world to assist him in the purpose of establishing dharma and to establish the path of devotional service, to attract living entities back to his to the path of devotional service and to his lotus feet. So these two, we'll spend the remainder of the time discussing these two personalities. It's the disappearance day of Raghunandan Thakur, and it is also the disappearance day of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So we'll first start by discussing the pastime of Raghunandan Thakur. Now there is a place, Raghunandan Thakur was there during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there is a place in Navadvip, close to Navadvip, which is called as Shrikhanda. Now this village was extremely dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whenever people from this village used to come and visit him, he used to always say, oh, the Shrikhanda Vasis have come, and he used to embrace them with love, because that village was so dear to him. And that village was dear to him because most of the people over there in Shrikhanda were devout Vaishnavas. They were very nice devotees of Krishna and followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there were three brothers who were prominent devotees in that particular village. And these three brothers were Mukunda Sarkar, Narhari Sarkar and Madhav Das. These were three brothers who were living in that village. And Mukunda Sarkar was a physician. In fact, he came from a family of physicians. His father, grandfather, everybody were physicians. So he was a physician and his son was Raghunandan Thakur. So Raghunandan Thakur was born in 1510, the same year when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to South India, the tour of South India that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did for 4 months. So in the same year, Raghunandan Thakur was born to Mukunda Sarkar. His mother's name is not known, but his father was Mukunda Sarkar. And it is described that Mukunda Sarkar himself was a very elevated devotee. So in Krishna Leela, Mukunda Sarkar is none other than Vrinda Devi. And he incarnated to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission as Mukunda Sarkar. In fact, many of his own pastimes are there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was the physician at the Muslim king who was ruling at that time in Navadvip. And once he had gone there to give some consultation to the king, being a physician, the king's personal physician. And he saw that the king was being fanned by a peacock fan. And as soon as he saw the peacock feathers in the fan, Mukunda Sarkar fainted. Because he swooned, he immediately remembered Krishna and he got absorbed in Krishna and he fainted. He was such an elevated devotee. And when he came back to consciousness, he just feigned to the king and all the attendants who were present there that, oh, it was just an attack of epilepsy. You know how pure devotees always try to hide their ecstasy. So in the same way, Mukunda Sarkar also tried to hide his ecstasy by just brushing it off, saying that, oh, I fainted because of an epileptic attack. But the Muslim king, even though he was Muslim, he realized that this person is not an ordinary person. He's actually a pure devotee of the Lord, and that is why he has fainted. So the Muslim king could see those symptoms of pure devotion in Mukunda Sarkar. So Raghunandan Thakur, there are many pastimes described of Raghunandan Thakur. The famous story is described of Raghunandan Thakur was that offering bhoga to their family deities, which was Radha Gopinath. So one day Mukunda Sarkar had to go out for some work. And they had a family deity of Radha Gopinath in their family. Since many generations they were worshipping that deity. And very lovingly Mukunda Sarkar used to every day offer bhoga to the deities, you know, give bath to the deities, dress them very opulently. But that day, because he had to go out on some work, he gives the responsibility to his young son, Raghunandan Thakur. And he tells them, today you have to offer food to the deities. So Raghunandan Thakur was just 5 years old at that time. And he wasn't aware of the process of how to do that. So his father, he asked his father, how do I give food to Krishna? So his father tells him that your mother will prepare a plate and give. You take it inside the deity room and you keep it in front of the Lord and just fold your hands, close your eyes and tell the Lord to eat. You have to tell Gopinath very lovingly to eat this food. So Raghunandan Thakur took his father's words verbatim. So as soon as his mother gave him the bhoga plate, he took the bhoga plate inside the deity room. He kept the plate in front of Gopinath. And then as his father had instructed, he closed his eyes, he folded his hands, and he requested Gopinath that please eat this food, which my mother has prepared for you. And then after some time, he opened his eyes and he saw that the food was still there, obviously. So he thought, oh, I did not pray enough. That is why it looks like Gopinath has not eaten. So once again, he closes his eyes, he folds his hand and he requests Gopinath, very lovingly he requests that, oh, Gopinath, please accept this food which my mother has prepared. And then after some time, he again opens his eyes and he sees that still the food is there. So now Raghunandan Thakur is very scared because he feels that he's not following his father's instructions. So he starts crying. And he cries and he begs to Gopinath that, why are you doing this today? My father said that I have to offer this food to you and that you will eat it, but you are not eating it at all, and my father will be very unhappy with me if you don't accept this food. So just by seeing those tears of devotion in the eyes of Raghunandan Thakur, Gopinath's heart melts and he actually talks to Raghunandan Thakur. So like we read in the Bhagavad Gita as well, Asnami Prayatadmanaha. So if one offers with devotion, even a little leaf, flower, fruit or water, Krishna accepts it. So he saw the devotion which Raghunandan had in his heart, the pure devotion and the love with which the food was being offered. So Gopinath speaks to Raghunandan Thakur and he tells him that I already ate the food. So Raghunandan Thakur says, but I can still see it in the plate. What are you saying that you've eaten the food? So Gopinath actually explains to Raghunandan Thakur the process of how he eats. He said that, Gopinath said that I eat through my eyes. So I have already glanced at the food that you kept here and I have already eaten. I've accepted your bhoga and now I've left my remnants for you as prashad. But because all this was not explained to Raghunandan Thakur by his father, he did not accept this explanation of Gopinath. He said, no, my father has said that you have to eat the food. So why are you saying all this that you have glanced and all? I want you to actually eat the food up because that was what my father told me, that if I offer lovingly, you will eat this food. So now Gopinath, just to reciprocate with the loving devotion of this little child, he actually ate up everything which Raghunandan Thakur had offered to him. And now Raghunandan Thakur was so satisfied that yes, the Lord has finally accepted the food. So he takes the empty plate and he gives it to his mother. And the mother was a little surprised that an empty plate has been brought to him. So the mother actually asks him, where is the prashad, Mahaprashad? So Raghunandan says, what Mahaprashad? Gopinath ate everything, like father had told me, so Gopinath ate everything. And the mother knew that the child was not accustomed to lying. And the mother also knew that the child wouldn't have, he was not such a naughty child that he would eat up everything and tell that, oh, Gopinath has eaten. So she was wondering why, you know, what has happened, but she couldn't fathom what went on. So when Mukunda Sarkar came back, he asked his wife, oh, can you give me some Mahaprashad of Gopinath? And his wife showed him the empty plate. And the wife said that Raghunandan Thakur is saying that Gopinath ate everything. And even Mukunda Sarkar was surprised because he also knew that his son would not lie like this. And, you know, they were wondering maybe an animal ate or something like that. But they knew Raghunandan Thakur was very meticulous. He was a nice devotee. He was showing symptoms of pure devotion since his birth. So then Mukunda Sarkar really wanted to test out that what happened. Is it true that Gopinath ate like this child is claiming? So he gives Raghunandan Thakur one laddu. And he says that just as you offer the food to Gopinath, can you now go and offer this laddu and tell Gopinath to eat this laddu? So Raghunandan is very happy because of the loving exchange he had with Gopinath. So he said, yes, I will offer this laddu as well. And he takes the laddu inside the deity room. And Mukunda Sarkar says, okay, I have to go out. But on the pretext of going out, he's actually watching the whole thing from behind a curtain. So Raghunandan did not know that his father was watching. But of course, Gopinath knew that Mukunda Sarkar was watching. So again, Raghunandan Thakur keeps the laddu in front of Gopinath and he begs him, oh my lord, please accept this laddu. And again, there is nothing. Again, you know, Gopinath tells him, I have eaten it by my glance. And again, Raghunandan Thakur starts crying. So this time also, just to reciprocate, Gopinath takes that laddu, which Raghunandan has kept on the plate, and he eats half of the laddu. And then he just freezes in that position. He does not continue eating. And Mukunda Sarkar, when he sees that actually the deity ate, he extended his hand and he ate the laddu. He comes out and he embraces his son. And he realizes that what a pure devotee this was. And he realizes how much more faith his son had than he himself. Because all of us are on that platform, like speaking for myself especially. When we keep the bhoga in front of the Lord, we expect that we will get prashad. We expect that the Lord actually glances. We expect that he just glances at it and leaves the mahaprashad for us to enjoy. But in this particular case, it talks about the faith of Raghunandan Thakur. And that faith and devotion is what made the deity actually accept everything and eat everything up physically as well, and not just through his senses. So Mukunda Sarkar, realizing that what a great devotee had taken birth in his house, he embraces Raghunandan and he keeps him in his lap and he showers him with tears of ecstasy. And it is, there is an explanation also given why Krishna just ate half of the laddu. So it is said that he had eaten a whole meal which Raghunandan had offered him just some time ago. So this was like a dessert. He was very full, so he could not eat the whole thing. That's why he just ate half the laddu. And it is still said that laddu has been preserved. Somewhere in Sri Khanda, that laddu has been preserved. So in one of the temples, they've preserved and somebody can go and take darshan of that laddu. But the deity is also still there in that pose of half-eaten laddu. That deity is also there of Gopinath. So this is how elevated Raghunandan Thakur was. And Raghunandan Thakur used to accompany his father to Jagannath Puri. In fact, it is mentioned that there were 7 groups which used to go to Jagannath Puri every time from Navadeep. And Raghunandan Thakur used to ecstatically dance in the group, which was the Sri Khanda group and which was led by Narhari Sarkar. So every year he would go to Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his father and uncle. And after this incident had happened, when Mukunda Sarkar took Raghunandan Thakur to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his fame had already spread that Gopinath ate because Raghunandan Thakur requested. So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Mukunda Sarkar, he said that, who is the father? Are you the father or is your son the father? And Mukunda Sarkar, realizing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking, he actually said that, no, Raghunandan Thakur is my father. And I am the son. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, that is the correct position to be in. Because whoever teaches you devotional service, that is your spiritual father. You have to accept them as your spiritual father and your guru. So Mukunda Sarkar acknowledges that my wife and I, both of us have learned how to execute pure devotional service from our son. So this is how, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recognized the devotion of Raghunandan Thakur. And in the same way, his glories had also spread in Navadvip. So there is a very dear disciple of there is a very dear devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a very dear associate of Lord Nityananda, whose name was Abhiram Thakur. One of his name was also Ramdas. And there is a beautiful description given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of the meeting of these two great personalities. Now Abhiram Thakur was Shridam Sakha in Krishna Leela. He was the younger brother of Radharani. And he was a very unique personality, a very different devotee.
It is mentioned that he was such a pure devotee that no fake devotion could stand in front of Abhiram Thakur. So whenever he would pay obeisances to a Shaligram Shila or a deity, and if Krishna was not actually personally accepting service through that Shaligram Shila or that deity would crack into thousands of pieces as soon as Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances to that deities. In the same way, when Abhiram Thakur would pay obeisances to a devotee, and if there was even a trace of material desire in that devotee's heart, then that devotee would die on the spot. So people were very scared that Abhiram Thakur should not pay obeisances to us, because, you know, everybody feels they are fallen. Although, you know, in Navadvip there were so many pure devotees, but obviously in their humility they would feel that I'm full of material desires. And as soon as Abhiram Thakur, he wouldn't pay obeisances often, but as soon as he would pay obeisance to a person who has no pure devotion in his heart, that person would leave the world. And one more unique thing about Abhiram Thakur was that he had a whip, and that whip's name was Jai Mangal. So after he had paid obeisances and that person did not die because he was a pure devotee, Abhiram Thakur would actually strike, that whip that person with his Jai Mangal whip. And as soon as he would whip that person, because of the touch of that pure devotee, that person would develop ecstatic symptoms and he would start dancing in madness of Krishna Prem. So that was one more unique quality of Abhiram Thakur. Now as soon as Abhiram Thakur heard the glories of Raghunandan Thakur and he realized that Gopinath has himself accepted prasad from the hands of Raghunandan Thakur, he wanted to come and pay obeisances to Raghunandan Thakur. And he started traveling towards Sri Khanda. And as soon as the mother came to know that Abhiram Thakur is coming to pay obeisances to my son, she became very scared. You know, just as Mother Yashoda, even though her son was the supreme personality of Godhead, Mother Yashoda would always be scared that if Krishna eats dirt, it will, you know, spoil his stomach, or he will die. That's not good if Krishna does this. Or when Krishna was on the Kaliya snake, you know, Yashoda had completely fainted thinking what will happen to Krishna. So she was always in anxiety. She always used to chant mantras to protect Krishna, even though Krishna was the supreme personality of Godhead. In the same way, the mother was, obviously for the mother, Raghunandan Thakur was a young son. And even though he had displayed these symptoms of pure devotion, she was very scared when she heard that Abhiram Thakur is coming to pay obeisances. And she was scared that my son will die as soon as he pays obeisances. So they, both mother and father, they hide Raghunandan Thakur in a room. And then Abhiram Thakur arrives there and he says that, where is Raghunandan Thakur? I have come to pay obeisances to him. He's such a nice devotee of the Lord. And both the mother and father say that, oh, he's out of station. We did not realize you were coming. Otherwise, we would have actually kept him here so that you can meet him and pay obeisances to him. So Abhiram Thakur just sits down over there, because Mukunda Sarkar, Raghunandan Thakur, they were all pure devotees. So that whole area had such a nice, pure devotion, devotional atmosphere. So he just sits down over there and he starts chanting the Maha Mantra on his beads. And he's absorbed and he's chanting and chanting and chanting. And from somewhere, Raghunandan Thakur comes out, even though they had kept him locked in a room. He somehow comes out and he comes in front of Abhiram Thakur. And Abhiram Thakur is ecstatic when he gets the darshan of Raghunandan Thakur. So he immediately pays obeisances. And to the relief of the mother and father, obviously, Raghunandan Thakur did not die. He was still alive. And then both of them embrace for a long time. And then it is said that Abhiram Thakur starts singing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He starts leading kirtan. And Abhiram Thakur and Raghunandan Thakur both start dancing on the kirtan. And Raghunandan Thakur is so much filled with ecstasy, being in just the association of this pure devotee, that he dances and dances and dances. And his nupur, or his ankle bell, actually flies 4 miles away. Mm-hmm. And it goes and falls in a place called Akai Hut or something like that. And as soon as it falls in that place, there was a kund which forms over there, and that is called as Nupur Kund. Just in honor of that Nupur, Raghunandan Thakur's Nupur falling over there. So this is the exchange, loving exchange which both of them have. And then obviously, Abhiram Thakur uses his Jai Mangal whip to actually whip Raghunandan Thakur. And as he whips him once, and Raghunandan Thakur starts crying in ecstasy. Then he whips him twice and he cries more and more. He's crying and dancing in ecstasy. So he whips him thrice, and then Mukunda Sarkar and his wife, they both fall at the feet of Abhiram Thakur. And they tell him, please stop now.
This boy will die out of ecstasy. So stop whipping him with your Jai Mangal whip. He has had enough ecstasy for a day. So this is the loving exchange which happens between Abhiram Thakur and Raghunandan Thakur. So there are many more deep pastimes which are described about Raghunandan Thakur. But his disappearance was very unique. So he was very he respected Srinivas Acharya a lot. Srinivas Acharya was there at that time. And once he has a great desire to meet Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya also develops that same desire and he comes to meet Raghunandan Thakur. And at that time Raghunandan Thakur expresses to Srinivas Acharya. He says that so many devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu have left. Slowly everyone is winding up their pastimes and going back to Godhead. So I also would like to now leave. I don't want to live in this world. And Srinivas Acharya becomes very scared. He says that who will propagate the execution of devotional service? Why are you going away, leaving me here alone? And then Raghunandan Thakur blesses Srinivas Acharya. He says that no, I bless you that you will have a very long life. And through you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will achieve lots and lots of his purposes. He will achieve the purpose of spreading the Hare Krishna Mantra more, spreading the path of Krishna consciousness more and more in this world. And I can see in the future that you will be such an able instrument in the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in spreading his glories as well as the glories of Krishna Bhakti in this world. And then there was a kirtan which takes place. And in that kirtan, Raghunandan Thakur starts dancing. And he's calling out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with pure heart. He's calling out, O Gaura, O Gaura. He's calling out like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in his heart. And it is described that in front of everyone's eyes, Raghunandan Thakur just keeps reducing in size. He just keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And then he's no more. This is the way in which Raghunandan Thakur actually disappears from the world. So Raghunandan Thakur, in Krishna Leela, he was actually Kandarpa Manjari. So he plays different roles in different leelas of Krishna. He serves him in different moods as well. So he was serving in the Madhurya Bhav as Kandarpa Manjari. He was also present in Sakya Leela. He was actually a Priya Narma Sakha, who was called as Ujjwala. So even in Sakya Bhav, Raghunandan Thakur was serving Krishna. And then he was also there in Dwarka as Krishna's son, Pradyumna. So in different, like he also served Krishna as his son by, you know, having Krishna as the father. So in different bhavas, Raghunandan Thakur was serving Krishna. And then he appeared in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela as Raghunandan Thakur to propagate to spread the message of Krishna consciousness in the world. So in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave three instructions to these three elevated devotees from Srikhanda. To Mukunda Sarkar, because he was a grahastha, he told Mukunda Sarkar that because you are a grahastha, your duty is to earn spiritual as well as material wealth. So he was a physician by profession. So he said, yes, utilize your profession to earn material wealth and at the same time also earn spiritual wealth. And utilize your material wealth to give charity, spread for the cause of Krishna Bhakti, and your spiritual wealth to spread the messages of Krishna Bhakti. So that was the instruction he gives to Mukunda Sarkar. To Raghunandan Thakur, he gives the instruction of deity worship. In fact, it is mentioned that during one of the visits, when Raghunandan Thakur goes with his father to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusts him with his own deity worship of Gopinath as well. And there was a beautiful tree on the banks of the Nupur Kund. And throughout the year, that tree used to bear two beautiful Kadamba flowers, just for Raghunandan Thakur to use in his deity worship. So Kadamba flower is a very seasonal flower actually. It does not come in every season. But because of Raghunandan Thakur's pure devotion and his high level of deity worship, that tree used to bear these two flowers which Raghunandan Thakur used to daily offer to Radha Gopinath. So to Raghunandan Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the instruction that you must do deity worship. And to Narhari Sarkar, who was the uncle of Raghunandan Thakur, he gives him the instruction that you stay here in Jagannath Puri and you preach and you help me spread Krishna Bhakti from Jagannath Puri. So these were the three different instructions he gives to these three personalities from Srikhanda. And we'll briefly touch upon Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj now. So Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was there during the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was present on this earth at that time. So not years in his kutir. And he could not go and meet him because the doors of the kutir were closed. But he could hear Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj inside talking very lovingly to his deities. So he used to personally have exchanges with the deities and he used to keep talking to his deities. So the entire day of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj just used to go in serving the deities. So he would go out in the morning, he would beg some madhukari and come. He would also go to the forest and gather flowers for deity worship. Then he would sit and lovingly make garlands for all the six deities. And while making garlands, he would sing kirtans, he would talk to the deities, and then he would lovingly garland all the deities. Then he would start preparing bhoga for the deities. So he would wash, it is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he would wash, in the book by O.B.L. Kapoor, that he would keep washing the vegetables again and again and again, and then he would start washing the rice. And every grain of rice he used to inspect. So even if little bit husk is there on a grain of rice, he would take off that husk, then he would again rewash it. So Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was completely oblivious to time when he was engaged in, when he was absorbed in deity worship. So he would not realize where the day and night are passing. He would just slowly do all these activities. Then once he has washed everything thoroughly, he would start cooking. And sometimes the first offering he would do would be at midnight or in the middle of the night. So one day, there was a devotee called Haridas who was present at that time. So he sees Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj offering the bhoga at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he says, this is so good that you're offering a bhoga in the morning. This is how you should do every day. So little did he realize that the whole night had passed in Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj just, cleaning all the vegetables. And at last the bhoga had got ready at 9 o'clock in the morning. So Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj replies that I don't know what time is going on of the day. And I don't even care about what time is going on. So he had a very unique relationship with his deities. And because he was a Siddha Purusha, it is something that we should not follow or we should not imitate, especially what bhava or what relationship he had with his deities. So it is mentioned he told that devotee who came and told him that it's good you're offering this bhoga timely. He said that, do you think I'm their father's servant that I should offer them time to time bhoga? And if they want, let Gadadhar go and cook for Gaura. And Nityananda is anyway in Avadhut, so he can go and beg from the village. And my Gopal is anyway being served. There's a milking cow which comes here every day. My Gopal just needs milk, so that milking cow will come and give milk to Gopal. But the only deities I care about are Radha and Krishna. If I don't cook for them, they will have to go and beg for madhukari, and I don't want them to do that. That is why I'm cooking for them. So, but I don't know what is day and what is night. And it's not that, he would do all this and he was nicely eating in between. Because he was oblivious, he would only after he has offered, he would accept that prasad from the deities. So for him also, if the whole day has gone in preparing the garlands and the bhoga and all, he would also not have eaten. And he would not even realize that he has not eaten and how the day has become into night. So Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, like we said, he had a very unique relationship. And he would always keep his kutir doors open. He would never lock them. And there were three keys he had made. There was a lock, but he wouldn't lock. And he had given those three keys to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityanand Prabhu, and Gadadhar Pandit to look after. And he said, you all have to look after this house. I'm never going to lock it. So sometimes some people would come and gift something for his deities. So once a devotee came and gifted a gold chain for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he actually had lovingly put that gold chain. As soon as he got that gift, he had put it on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But obviously, because he was not keeping his kutir door locked, somebody came and stole that gold chain away. And when he came back from his madhukari, he saw that the gold chain is missing. So he started scolding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he kept chastising Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How can you not look after this house? I had entrusted you with the responsibility. Y'all are becoming very naughty. How did someone come and take this gold chain away from y'all? So he kept chastising. And then in the evening, in his heart, obviously the Lord gave him a message of who has stolen the gold chain. So he goes to that thief's house and he tries to retrieve the gold chain. He chastises the thief as well. And he tries to retrieve the gold chain, but obviously the thief had stolen it because he wanted it. So he just pushes Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj and Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj falls down and he gets hurt. But so he does not say anything because he was very humble. So he just comes back to his kutir. But how could Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tolerate? this insult which was done to his pure devotee. So it is mentioned that the thief, on the next day, the thief immediately died, and even all his family members died who did not protect Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj at that time. So that is how, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to reciprocate with Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So in the same way, once a thief came, now Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj had two pots for cooking for Gaur and Nithai, a smaller pot for Nityanand Prabhu and a bigger pot for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because the door was not locked, one day a thief came and he stole both those pots and went away. And again Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj sat down and he chastised both Gaur and Nithai. He said, "You boys are becoming so naughty. How is it that someone just took those simple pots away? Can you not stop someone from stealing these things away? Now because you all have not looked after the house and not taken care of your things, I am not going to cook for both of you all. Unless you all bring your pots back, I am not going to cook anything for you all." So he actually cooked everything for the other deities, but he did not cook for Gaur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu. So obviously Nityanand Prabhu was very hungry. So in the evening he inspired the thief, and that pot was returned. Nityanand Prabhu's pot was returned by the thief in the kutir. And it is mentioned that Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj said, "See, this is Nityananda's pot because it is the small pot. So I will cook for him, but Gaura, till your pot comes back, I'm not going to cook for you." And he actually cooks and he offers it to Nityanand Prabhu. And it is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having a long face because nothing was being offered to him. And he is looking with a sad face that how Nityananda is eating nicely and I'm not getting anything to eat. So again, you know, he now inspires the thief. So the thief comes and returns Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pot also. And then Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj cooks for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he offers the bhoga to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And while he's offering the bhoga to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's crying. He's saying that, "Why do you do like this? Do you think I like to punish you all? But why do you do like this? I don't like to not feed you all, or I don't like to keep you all hungry. But what to do? I have to teach you all a lesson because you all are being so naughty." So this was the unique relationship. He used to feel bad, but you know, he was having these exchanges which obviously we cannot imitate or we cannot follow being sadhakas. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present at that time. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes used to send his disciples to actually give some bhoga and, you know, some supplies, because Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was so renounced. He was not having anything. He just used to wear one kopin, he used to carry one kamandalu, and he used to wear kanti mala. That's it. He did not have any possessions at all. So sometimes Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj used to send his disciples to give some supplies for Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj too, so he can cook for his deities. But he had warned his disciples not to associate with Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. He used to tell him that just pay obeisances from far away, but don't associate with them. So once there was a fisherwoman. Now Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, in his earlier days, he was born in a fisherman's family. And they used to eat fish because that was their job. It was their that is the way they used to earn income. They used to catch fish and sell fish. So he also used to eat fish in his childhood. So once a fisherwoman was passing by there, and she did not know who this is. So she just offered, "Would you like to buy some fish?" And for a fraction of a second, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj's mind gets attracted to that fish because he had eaten fish in his childhood. And you know, as soon as his mind gets attracted to his fish, he controls himself and he chastises the fisherwoman first of all and sends her away. And then he comes inside his kutir, he closes all the doors and he starts chastising the deities. He says that, "How is it that y'all allowed this fraction of a desire to come in my mind to taste that fish? I have been serving y'all for so long. How is it that y'all did not take care and protect me from these material desires erupting in my heart?" So what he does, again something which is very extraordinary, he ties up all the deities with a rope and then he goes, takes the deities and he puts them in the Ganga, and he keeps one end of the rope under his leg and he's sitting over there. And when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comes to know that Vamsidas Babaji has done like that, he told all his disciples, "Don't even go near him right now." So, you know, he said, "Just keep the bhoga from far away, keep some supplies and come, but don't even go near him right now, because he is right now, you know, in a different level of ecstasy and a different level of exchange which is happening between him and his deities." So ultimately, obviously, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj brought his deity house and his deities out, and he started re-worshipping his deities. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to his disciples. He said that y'all thought that I did not want y'all to associate with Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj because he's in Maya or something like that, or his activities are like a Sahajya and I wanted to protect y'all. He said, no, that is not the case. He is a Siddha Purusha. He is a very elevated personality and you all will misunderstand his pastimes. And you all may do some aprad in your mind if you all, because of your misunderstanding of his pastimes. And I wanted you all to protect you all from that Vaishnava aprad. That is why I was telling you all not to associate with him. Not because he was in Maya or because his whatever activities he was doing was wrong. So this is the high level of respect which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had for Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. And it is said that sometimes Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj would speak very incoherently, like nobody could understand what he is speaking. But whenever he used to recite verses or whenever he used to recite any scriptures, he would speak so eloquently. And his knowledge of the Shastras, he was not very literate, but his knowledge of the Shastras was so deep that many devotees used to come. And once one devotee came to him, he used to continuously come to him. And he used to say that, oh, I want to attain Krishna, I want to attain Krishna. And then after the devotee had visited him for many, many days, he just gave him one instruction. Because the devotee kept asking, how do I attain Krishna? And he said, oh, you want to attain Krishna? Then weep. Only if you weep, then you will be able to attain Krishna's lotus feet. So these are, you know, the exalted qualities which Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj had. And he also disappeared on the same day that Raghunandan Thakur disappeared. So it's time up. We'll stop over here. And if anyone has any questions, comments, corrections. So Raghunandan Thakur Maharaj ki. Srila Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj ki. Any questions, comments, corrections? The book where Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj's pastimes are described? Shivaram Maharaj's book. It's called Krishna Sangati. It describes the 10th canto, especially the Viraha pastime, when he is leaving Vrindavan and going to Mathura. So it is mentioned that if we hear about the life story of the personalities on their appearance or disappearance day, and if we absorb ourselves in their pastimes, first of all, we get lots of blessings, because on the appearance or disappearance day, the personalities are in a very benevolent mood. So that is why it is very important we read, we hear, and we discuss the pastimes of personalities on their appearance and disappearance day to invoke their blessings upon us. Obviously, we cannot imitate these pastimes, but there are many lessons we can derive which we can try to imbibe in our lives as sadhakas. So, for example, Raghunandan Thakur, he was entrusted with deity worship even by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what high level of deity worship he used to do, like the love with which he used to offer his worship to the deities, that is something which we all can imbibe, because all of us do either deity worship in the temple or at home we do deity worship. So that is something which we can imbibe in our life. Even Raghunandan Thakur, the way he used to serve devotees, we did not go into many pastimes, but there is a very beautiful description of how on one of the Ekadashis he invites Veerabhadra, who was the son of Lord Nityananda, Srinivas Acharya. They all do full night kirtan on that Ekadashi. And next day to break fast, how he cooks personally for all the devotees and he offers them bhoga. So the loving exchanges which devotees would have with each other without any envy in the heart, that is something else which we can learn. From Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he was so renounced, so absorbed. So how to be renounced, absorbed, how not to have material desires, that is something that we can learn from these different people's, devotees' pastimes.
One point to go. When you were telling about Penumbra flower in Jhansi, Lord Krishna himself came to give Srila Prabhupada a garland of Penumbra, a very big Penumbra flower.
Yeah.
It was out of season. So Prabhupada was intense devotee, but he still put himself.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Yes.
In Bhagavad Gita, 15.14, Lord says that he is the fire of digestion for the four kinds of food stuff. What are the four kinds of food stuff?
I think it is described in the Bhagavad Gita 15.14, the Lord says that he is the fire of digestion for four kinds of foodstuffs. So I think it is described either in that verse or the previous verse, the four kinds of foodstuffs are the ones which can be licked, which can be chewed, which can be sucked, and I think which can be swallowed or something like that. So those are, I'm not very sure of the four, but I know there are some like licked, chewed, swallowed or something. So we'll have to check that. But these are the four kinds of foodstuffs the Lord is referring to. Nice question. So what happens is, you know, even though Raghunandan Thakur is a pure devotee, now why association of devotees is very important for devotional service, whether we are, you know, practicing devotees or already pure devotees. Because in the association of devotees, devotees remind us about Krishna, we discuss about Krishna, Tushyanti cha Ramanti cha, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So we get an opportunity to get absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in topics about Krishna, chanting, dancing, kirtan and all that. So on a normal day, even like for example, Prabhupada was a pure devotee. So it is not that pure devotees are exhibiting ecstatic symptoms all the time. But when, for example, the first time when Yamuna Devi's song Govinda Madhi Purusham was played, when Prabhupada was taking darshan at 7 o'clock, the darshan deity doors had just opened, and that song was played for the first time, Srila Prabhupada immediately started crying. And that is when he gave the order that this song should be played throughout all the temples in ISKCON for the darshanarthi at 7 o'clock. So if we say that why Prabhupada started crying at that moment, is he not a pure devotee? Is he not feeling ecstasy all the time? So yes, they are feeling ecstasy in their heart, but that becomes manifest in the association of devotees. So that ecstasy of Prabhupada became manifest when he heard that song being sung by Yamuna Devi, and also because he was feeling very proud that one of his disciples had, you know, performed, done such a nice, you know, rendered such a nice composition for Krishna's pleasure. So in the same way, that is why we also try to associate with devotees, so that those hidden feelings, if we are not in the association of devotees, then for practicing devotees, Maya is immediately going to take over. We will start getting material desires in our heart. But if we are, when we are in the association of devotees, those devotional feelings which are there in our heart as practicing devotees get an opportunity to come out more, and they keep us engaged in Krishna consciousness more. So in the same way, yes, Raghunandan Thakur is a pure devotee, but the ecstatic symptoms came out because, first of all, that was a quality of that whip, and because he was in the association of another pure devotee who was a Raghunandan Thakur. We'll end over here, it's time up. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.